on-the-spot update right there from broadcast professional Young Matthew. We'll keep you updated as the San Francisco Giants do have the bases loaded. No outs. So they got this early game with the San Diego Padres.
He's all focused now because he's going to get a free Kings tattoo today. So he's all trying to do his job really well.
No doubt. And if you got one, we got three the hard way coming up in just a few minutes. But if you got one, if you got a Kings tattoo, we want to see it. We'll give you tickets to see Jimmy Buffett at the Golden One Center on October 20th. Come down here to the studios on Madison Avenue. What is it, 5244 Madison Ave? Come see us. We want to see the tattoo. We want to see which one you got. We want to see what your line of thinking was as you were standing in line to get this tattoo. And I'll tell you this, as for as long as it seems like the Sacramento Kings have been a running joke in the national media, they're getting some love today for this new logo and this tattoo campaign that they put out there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that work hard on those things, so it's good to have some positivity. I mean, they've had enough stuff, deservedly so, thrown at them. They've had a good 24 hours.
And that'll all be back on Monday. But for now...
Yeah, enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's try to bring some of it back right now, because we got some things to talk about in Three the Hard Way.
Three the Hard Way. Three the Hard Way.
Gentlemen, today is an unofficial national holiday. Today, April 27th, is Babe Ruth Day to honor what some folks would say, not you, Damian, the greatest all-time hitter in the history of Major League Baseball, one of the more towering figures. So, I ask you, as we celebrate Babe Ruth today, or you remember Babe Ruth, what is your favorite, like, factoid or stat about Babe Ruth, or maybe your least favorite factoid, story, or stat regarding Babe Ruth? Damian!
Well, I guess least favorite would be that he's revered as, you know, he's the Babe Ruth. He's the Babe Ruth of this. He's the Babe Ruth of that when we talk about those iconic people from other sports. Yet Babe Ruth was like a womanizing, like alcoholic, you know, oh, Babe Ruth got by on, he hit 714 home runs with beer and hot dogs.
But he was good at that.
Come on, man. I guess my favorite would be the called shot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty, that's next level. Like, because if you do that now, you're catching a fastball to the something. Yeah. You're catching a fastball somewhere.
That's true.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I wrote down calling a shot just because that's got such lore to it now. But, I mean, that's the ultimate bravado of sports right there. And then to do it and deliver that. And then I don't know why I always think when you said Babe Ruth, I was thinking of the movie The Sandlot. And
the Bambino.
Yeah, and just the way they all describe him, the one kid has no idea. Like, he thought it was Baby Ruth, and it was just didn't understand it, and they played with a sign ball. Just that's one thing I always think of that movie.
Covering by saying, I thought you said the great Bambi.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that wimpy deer. My favorite from Babe Ruth is a story in spring training where a heckler was giving him the business. So Babe Ruth drops the bat, goes into the stands. Well, he doesn't know. That heckler's not playing with him. The heckler pulls out a knife.
Oh.
Babe Ruth goes back down to the baseball
field. So what do we learn today, if nothing else? Babe Ruth isn't stupid.
That's right.
Three the hard way. Three the hard way.
All right, I'm going to go to hoops today, and baseball does it. The NFL does it. I think hockey does it, too. They reseed in the playoffs. I don't think it's that critical, but I was thinking about it more and more. Should that be something that the NBA does? And here would be the most drastic example this year. If this were to happen, despite Jason Terry's guarantee, I don't think it's going to happen, but if the Rockets were to come back, somehow beat the Warriors, they're already slotted to play the Blazer-Clipper winner. Well, instead, if it was reseeded, the Spurs would get the reward of playing the worst team left. And as fans, we would prolong then, if the Warriors were out, we'd prolong the Spurs and OKC because they wouldn't meet till later. Now we're going to get that in the next round. So anyway, long way to get to it. The question is, should the NBA reseed after each round for their playoff formats like other sports do?
And the reason would be to make them more compelling matchups.
I guess
so. Is that right?
Yeah. And that doesn't always factor, but it could be.
Well, it also rewards the team that worked hard all season.
For 82 games.
For 82 games. Because you worked for 82 games. You're the San Antonio Spurs, and now you're getting Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Whereas if the Rockets somehow won, you're not playing the 8 seed, you're playing the 3.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think they should do it. Or at least, here's the thing, sports has been trying things for years. Try it.
Yeah.
See if it works out. I mean, baseball had to eventually get to the point of making wild card teams when everyone's like, no, you got to win the pennant. No, they added wild card teams. Now it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm for it.
Yeah, I like the idea. I mean, I think back to a different Warriors team beating the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
The 1-8. Right. I think the Mavericks had won like 67 games that year.
Yeah.
And then,
so they go play the 4-5 instead of the 2.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That would have been the perfect deal. Adam Silver seems like the kind of guy that would do it, right?
I agree. He's very flexible.
He likes to try things. If we're in a time where it's going to happen, I imagine he would be the guy to do it. I'll stick with hoops. And it was kind of a throwaway remark. I put it out there on Twitter last night. Some people had a different take on it. Charles Barkley, they were talking about the assistant coach of the San Antonio Spurs, maybe going to L.A., maybe going to – and someone said, well, I don't remember if it was Shaq. Someone said, well, what about the Sacramento Kings? And Charles Barkley said he shouldn't take that job. Becky Hammon should be considered for that job. And I thought, some people took that as like a sexist remark, like, oh, send Becky Hammon to Sacramento, let her have her first job there, get fired, and get it over with. That's not how I took it at all, and I'll tell you why. I've seen Charles Barkley and Becky Hammon interact together. I don't think he has that level. That would come across to me as a disrespectful remark. He does not have that level of – he doesn't have that level of disrespect for anyone in the WNBA, much less someone like Becky Hammon who's working her ass off for the San Antonio Spurs right now. My question to you is, should – Becky Hammon be considered for the Sacramento Kings job? And we want to hear from you on the phone lines, on the text lines, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Text Nation, you can get at us as well, 44-1140.
Should she? Well, if the list is long and exhausting and thorough, then why not? To me, it's not a question. The first one, obviously, people may go, well, can a woman be? Of course you can. That's not it. My reservation would be, has she done enough as an assistant? Now, if Pop doesn't get you prepared, I don't know what else you need. And we've seen Steve Kerr jump into a job. We've seen Derek Fisher jump into a job with different
Jason
results.
Kidd.
Jason Kidd. So, you know, let's even compare someone that just got on the list, Elston Turner. Is he more qualified with 20 years on a bench than Becky Hammon? Part of me says yes, but is that still the right answer, the right fit? I don't know. So short answer would be I think she should be considered. My concern would be, has she had enough reps as an assistant? It's been pretty short. What, 2 years?
2 years? Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, but
first year on the bench?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is even proper to say because you asked a specific question about a specific person, and I'm going to say, why are we thinking about her ahead of Nancy Lieberman, who's already had coaching experience with men? Wouldn't she be considered ahead of Becky?
Text line just came through with that very question. If Becky Hammon, then why not Nancy Lieberman? And I'll tell you why. Nancy Lieberman has been around the NBA in some form or fashion for years, maybe decade plus decades.
Right.
Never been considered for a coaching job, a head coaching job. To the best of my knowledge, has never been on a coaching staff until Becky Hammon was. And then Becky Hammon did what she did with Pop. She got moved up to the bench. She got moved from behind the bench where Nancy Lieberman is, by the way, moved to an assistant coach who sits on the bench and coached the summer league team.
Yes. Yeah.
Won the summer league.
Yes.
And then suddenly you're starting to hear talk of Becky Hammon is very much ready to be a head coach. She has the respect of those San Antonio Spurs players. I have never, ever heard those words uttered about Nancy Lieberman.
I don't believe that that's a knock on Nancy Lieberman. I believe that's more kind of an attribute to the Spurs organization.
Yes.
How everybody in that organization, players included, fall in line. They do what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to do it, and they do everything in a respectful manner. And even if they had an issue, not saying that they did, if they had, they would find a way to squash that issue with Becky and get back to the basics of playing basketball.
Yeah.
And take attention to the coach.
I think Ken's spot on with that. I mean, when people talk culture and cultures that are right, that's it. I mean, I'm not saying we could coach the Spurs, but I think if we were given that title today, hey, you three are coaching the Spurs, I think they would come in respecting us, even if they go, why are they coaching the team?
Exactly.
But I think they would fall in line and then over time be like, okay, they're clowns.
Whereas
get them out of here.
Nancy's the first one. Nancy had to make her bones without any assistance.
Yeah.
She's the first one back in 2009 they
the
make D-League her a coach.
And stuff,
D-League.
Right? Yeah.
With guys that are scrapping and trying to make their way up, and she held that together.
So
years.
Why hasn't she been considered for an NBA coaching position before?
Now, that's I don't know. It's the same thing going back to Elston Turner. I do not know. right? These are people that are qualified but just haven't been given a shot.
So if we play that out, let's play that out. Like, Becky gets the job. How is that perceived? Kings have been a punchline. Are they praised or are they ripped?
Well, I'll give you one answer, and I can actually go back to something you said a few minutes ago about people falling in line, referencing the San Antonio Spurs. When you leave that organization, I think you're more respected because of it.
Okay.
And I'll use Brent Brown as a great example. No one blames him for what's going on in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Absolutely no one. Maybe if it was anyone else from any other organization, they would tear him apart. But because he was put into that position, he's from the San Antonio Spurs, I think he's looked at differently.
That's a stretch.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's dysfunctional here, though, too.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I'll address your question next. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a Professional Tease. We want to hear from you as well. Do you think Becky Hammon is at least worth an interview for the Sacramento Kings coaching position? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. More on the Lowdown next. Welcome back. Hour number two of the Lowdown rolls on. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. My name is Damian Barley. We thank you so much for tuning in. We've been in discussion about the Sacramento Kings head coaching position, specifically about Becky Hammon and a kind of off-the-cuff remark that was made by Charles Barkley last night during the NBA on TNT, where he said, hey, Becky Hammon should take that job.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious on that set. What was there any other reaction or just kind of a throwaway line?
It was going to commercial break.
Oh.
It was going to commercial. So okay. there was never a follow-up to it. It was just kind of a remark that Becky Hammon should take that job. I think Kenny Smith yelled that would get her feet wet. That would get her in the league.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Because everybody says it's going to happen.
That Becky Hammon is going to be
point.
A head coach. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was part of the reason why, and we'll go back to Nancy Lieberman here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, by the way, if you want to get through on the phone lines. We'll go back to Nancy Lieberman, Ken, because you brought her up.
Yes, sir. What's up?
I think Becky deserves to be the first head coach in the NBA. The first women's head coach in the NBA.
Based on what?
Because she's put in the work with the San Antonio Spurs, and I'm not really clear what Nancy has done. I know she did the D-League thing a few years back, but then I felt like she was gone, and she wasn't around before then.
But hasn't she had more years of coaching overall?
And that's where my next thing comes is, if she has, why did Nancy, did she win the D-League 1 year? Or she got her team pretty far into the maybe the D-League finals.
Dallas, yeah.
Becky Hammon won the Summer League. Mm-hmm. How valuable is that? Didn't the Kings win the Summer League a few years ago?
I was just getting ready to say, yeah.
Everybody got excited.
Still have the ring.
Yeah, so yeah. the one that's here.
Yeah.
She obviously, there's a reason that she hasn't been discussed before. So Becky Hammon comes along, wins the Summer League, and suddenly it's, she could be a head coach in the NBA. Well, why all of a sudden is Nancy back now?
Or are we more accepting now than even a few years ago, 10 years ago?
And if we are more accepting, why are we pitting two against each other?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's because they're women.
But it's the same thing they do with minorities. When you have two African Americans that are in line for something, it's like, when Denzel comes along and wins two Academy Awards, he doesn't forget about Sidney Poitier and Louis Gossett Jr. and all those other people that came before him. He makes a point to acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in this particular situation, Becky is obviously a very, very fantastic young talent. But I'm not quite sure what the difference between her and Nancy would be, why she would leapfrog Nancy when Nancy has more experience. That doesn't make any sense.
I think she'd be a better head coach. I think Becky Hammon would be a better head coach. I think she has the respect of the players. Nancy sat
She's
behind
in
the
San
bench.
Antonio, man. We just talked about how that whole organization, they're going to respect her.
Is she supposed to be apologetic for that?
Like, no, because she's supposed to be tested, and she can't be tested there. Not the way that a normal coach would be tested. If she wants to come here, bring her here and have her deal with DeMarcus. That's a test.
That's a major test.
Well, there we go.
That's a test.
Yeah. There we go.
I mean, as an assistant first.
Mm. Someone asked why Nancy had to sit behind the bench. Well, you can only have a certain amount of coaches on the bench.
Right.
So Becky, not the season that just ended or the season that's playoff season that we're in, but the season before she was named official,
she sat behind the bench. Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that, yeah.
It's just what happens.
Pecking order.
Yeah, it might be seniority because some of the other guys have been on the staff a little bit longer.
Okay. A lot of people on this line, text line, say just a lady coach in the NBA wouldn't go over well.
Okay.
We had this conversation with Pat Summitt before. Could Pat Summitt coach men? Maybe not specifically NBA,
right?
But the conversation was, could Pat Summitt coach men? A coach is a coach, right?
In my
mind. Is that naive? Yeah. Is that naive? I mean, Gino Auriemma coaches women.
And some people hold that against him.
And we had that conversation how we felt like he wouldn't get the proper respect because we also looked up I found the website which talked about how they say that women are coachable more so than men.
Eric Musselman, the year he was the head coach, John Wisnett, he was a Maloof's guy.
Yeah.
He was the head coach of the Sacramento Monarchs. He was in the conversation.
He was winning a lot.
And there was that conversation. Yeah, the Sacramento Monarchs went to 4 conference finals,
two championships,
back-to-back NBA finals, won a championship in 2005, and yet he's looked at, he coaches women. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Kurt, we appreciate your call. What do you got for us?
No problem. Hey, fellas. I'm with Ken on this one as far as Becky Hammon getting a shot over Nancy Lieberman because I feel like she's paid the dues a little bit more, and that's kind of how it works. It's not that Nancy Lieberman can't coach in the league because I actually think she could. She's a Hall of Famer. She's been around basketball her whole life. She's good with relationships as far as, you know, personal relationships with people, and she knows basketball. I wouldn't have any problem if the Kings hired Becky Hammon to, you know, take the position because you got to look at who got her in the league, okay? Popovich, obviously, is the head guy there, and he doesn't do things just to make a splash or to be cool or anything like that. I mean, they're the top organization in the league, and the reason she got a shot is because he believes in her. And as far as that, I mean, that's good enough for me.
Well, we appreciate it, Kurt. Thank you so much for the call. Thank you so much for your take. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Oscar in Stockton, what do you got for us?
What's going on with you, Bob?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. We appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Okay. Becky Hammon, just because she coaching for San Antonio, that doesn't mean that she got the respect from all the players. Everybody keep on talking about because you coach at San Antonio, you can take a lead for another team. Nancy Lieberman would be the way better choice. Her experience, a Hall of Famer, and not only that, she has helped develop a lot of players that you probably guys probably know that came through the AAU ranks. She's been a coach for a long time. If you're going to go with a lady coach, you cannot overlook Nancy Lieberman. Becky Hammon is way too young. We give her way too much props because she won the summer league.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean anything. A Hall of Famer coach like Nancy Lieberman does have respect. Just because she sat behind the bench, she should have been in front of the bench because George Carlin don't have much experience. He got more experience than Nancy Lieberman, but he can't get to the players like she can. And, you know, people always be putting San Antonio coaches on the top list. That don't mean because you coach at San Antonio you can be a successful coach on your own. I would pick Nancy Lieberman anytime. And I want to speak another thing on the Kings coaching staff. We talk about getting Kevin McHale, Vinny Negro. We do not need any one of them coaches. We need to get a coach in here that has the experience that the players can relate to and they will listen to. Mark Jackson should be the coach of this team. We need to get more African-American coaches that played in the league, that's been in the league, assistant coaches to be the head coach nowadays. We are hiring kids that never been in the league to be the head coach, but the assistant coaches are all the NBA Hall of Famers. I don't understand that at all. The NBA needs to start back hiring more African-American coaches right now, and that is a blemish right now in the NBA because a lot of these coaches they're bringing in do not have the experience at all. That's why they hired the NBA coaches that played in the NBA for a long period of time. They could be assistant, they can't be a head coach. That is weak right now. That is real weak.
Oscar.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, then. All right, my man.
And said it.
We appreciate it.
He always comes strong. That's why I like him.
Yeah.
He always comes strong.
Kind of funny that he's talking about experience. I'm not even disagreeing with him, and he's mentioning Mark Jackson. Mm-hmm. Well, he was the guy without experience when he got the job.
Right.
So.
But he did fill the other criteria as being a former player.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, as he's saying it, I was thinking, if Becky were to leapfrog Nancy and get a job before her, you could call that progress because there are a lot of NBA lifer assistants that go, when's it? Elston Turner, Rex Kleyman, guys that are like, wait, what? Derek Fisher's getting a job? Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
Mark Jackson? Well, hey, I've been on the sideline for 25 years.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
You've been on the sideline for 25 years.
Yeah.
And why? Right?
That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
We pose that question, and I pose it almost in a, I don't know if this is the right term, loving way. why has Elston not been a head coach? Mm-hmm. And I pose it in a different way. Why has not Nancy Lieberman not been a head coach?
But you see, the thing that's holding her back is obviously completely different than what's holding Elston Turner back.
Yeah. Totally fair. Totally fair. 339-1140, 1-800-912-1140. Patrick, thank you for the call.
Hey, you guys. First of all, you guys work great together. I love listening to you guys every day, man. You guys rock, man.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, I'm down with
Becky
Hammond being the head coach here because she has a very good other side, I see, man. She seems like she's a no-nonsense coach, too. I can tell she can get a team in gear, get a team to play together. And I think she would be a good coach for DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, I think she has, you know, the pedigree to be a great coach. I mean, I just see it, man. I know you guys pretty much are the same, but why not bring in a coach like that? I mean, new arena, new uniforms, new logo. Hey, bring in the first lady coach to be the head coach for this team.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Patrick. I'm sorry if I cut you short a little bit. We got to move on to some other things. Gino, I see you on hold. I promise we'll get to you right after the break. I do want to pose this, and it's something you can't ignore. Becky was a point guard. Becky's about 5'6", 7".
Generously, yeah.
DeMarcus goes into one of his little fits, and he's towering over a young, little, attractive blonde. How is that going to be portrayed? And look, you could get a bit mad at me if you want to about that. At some point, DeMarcus is going to be unhappy with something.
Yeah.
And there's going to be that visual that's going to make people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just DeMarcus.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Because we know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We see it, but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Players on lots of teams.
Giants are up 3-0. They won last night. We got to talk about the A's and some other things in the NBA. We'll come back with more on Sports 1140 KHDK. It's the lowdown here with Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. My name is Damian Barling. We thank you for tuning in. Guys, please forgive me. We got so caught up in that conversation about Becky Hammond and the Sacramento Kings coaching position. Gino, I see you on hold. I'm going to get to you in just a second. I genuinely can't remember if I did the 10K a day code word, so I'm going to do it again just in case because you have till the end of the hour.
It's bonus.
It's bonus time right here. Text track. To 80787 or enter online at khdk.com by the end of the hour. Message and data rates may apply. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. And one randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. All entries will also automatically qualify for a $25,000 grand prize. We're also looking to see anybody who got a Sacramento Kings tattoo earlier this morning. Apparently, there were lines all around at these tattoo parlors. We got tickets to see Jimmy Buffett if you want to make your way out here to 5244 Madison Avenue.
Yeah, people have sent us pictures, but come on down.
Did Tom from Pat and Tom over at KNCI, did he really – is that a real tattoo or is that a
– I had seen a post earlier on Facebook that if he got a certain amount of likes, he would do it, and apparently he did, and that looks legit.
Good for you KNCI listeners calling his card and making him get out there and do that. Gino, thank you so much for holding so long through that break. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I have more of a take on Nancy Lieberman rather than a vote for who I want. I think her chances of being a coach have been really compromised, at least in the short term, because – of that dirt or whatever you want to call it that came out that she may have been informing or acting as a Ronna Dive informant while being part of the coaching staff here. And I feel like players, if they perceive that, you know, whether it's true or not, she may have been informing or AKA ratting, that you're going to have a hard time getting players to buy in and believe in her short term.
Yeah, no, yeah. Gino, I think you're absolutely right in that. That's something we've discussed here. And that was one of the problems I had with the Nancy Lieberman hire is that it came after the rumors about George Karl. Remember, because there were rumors about George Karl being fired before the first game of this season.
Yeah.
And Nancy Lieberman was brought on after Becky Hammond was brought on over at San Antonio. And it was like, oh, man, this reeks of publicity stunt. And then you start to put two and two together and go, if they fire George Karl, would he promote Nancy Lieberman over a Corliss Williamson just to say, hey, look it, we're the first.
Yeah.
And my frustration was that that shouldn't be the first women's head coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
It should be because someone earned it. And whether it's Nancy and you believe that she's earned it, then fine. Or Becky.
Yeah, well, that's why I asked the question, like, how would it be perceived nationally? Because I think a lot of people have very high things to say, highly regard Becky Hammond. But if the Kings picked her, I think there's a portion of people like, oh, this is publicity. They wanted to be the first. Here they go again. Sacramento can't do anything right. That's how a lot of people would label it. And it could go down that road, but she could also be brilliant.
Yeah, it might be a tough spot to put someone in that particular position for their first job, and mm-hmm. as a groundbreaking type role. Like, you're giving them, it's a dysfunctional situation right now, so it's probably not fair to put that person in the situation like that. Wait until everything gets corrected and is heading down the right path, and then you can think about making that move.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll try to get to a couple more. Al, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. The last thing we need, you know, this organization needs right now is a hire that has any kind of a smell of a novelty hire. I'm sure there's tons of assistants sitting there on 30-some teams, you know, seasoned assistants that are very deserving, or one of these guys that are no longer head coaches that are more deserving. Not to say that these ladies can't coach ball. They probably have forgot more than all of us have ever known. But now's not the time. I mean, little V has, you know, novelty'd me out. And, you know, we just need to start running it like a damn NBA team.
Al, you calling him Little V will never get old.
I know. I laugh.
It'll just never get old. Well, it's wonderful to hear everyone's perspective, thoughts. Obviously, everyone has strong opinions on who the Kings coach should be.
Yeah.
It gets amplified just a smidge when you factor in Becky Hammon, and not just the fact that she's a woman, but she hasn't been an assistant coach that long. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to make an argument, make that one. Don't make the argument that she's a woman, she can't coach men. Make the argument that she hasn't been sitting behind the bench long enough. Or sitting on the bench, I should say.
Well, and I even kind of like Ken's argument, too, in that she's in a fantastic spot. You can't penalize her for that, but that's all she's been given. Mm-hmm. And I think she's in the perfect environment, under the perfect tutor to learn from, and a team that probably is as accepting as anyone. The NBA is not like that everywhere.
Right.
So to put her in a different spot, I'm not saying she can't handle it, but you'd almost like to see it first before you go, oh, yeah, she's got it. She'll be fine.
Or maybe it is just that. Maybe because she's in the perfect spot, maybe that is the place and this is the time. If Pop's going to be leaving anytime soon, that's the perfect place for her to get that opportunity.
Yeah, maybe they, you're right. Maybe it's there.
Support around her, great foundation, and she'll be judged basically on if she can coach or not, not anything else.
339-1140. Greg, you're our last one on this. What do you got?
What's up, guys? I just wanted to make my opinion on that. And first of all, the tattoo this morning hurt. It wasn't fun, but it was worth it.
You got the lion, didn't you?
What's that?
You got the lion, I saw.
Yeah, and I was the first person that got it done. I was the first one in the chair and first one out of the chair.
Nice.
Yeah, but as far as the coaching search goes, I agree with what you guys are saying about Becky Hammon. And, you know, hopefully she'll be the one that paves the way for Nancy Lieberman. I think, like, they're both going to obviously be 1 and 2. Hammon already kind of proved her ability when she coached that summer league team. I know it's summer league, but she still coached a team of guys, and they said it couldn't be done, that she wasn't going to be respected. And I think Lieberman, you know, once Hammon becomes a coach, I think that'll open the door for her as long as she stays an assistant and keeps working for it. But as far as the Kings go, every single candidate that's been rumored or mentioned, I hate every option that's out there. And I think that they need to go the route that Boston did. They need to go down to the college ranks and get an up-and-coming spark plug of a coach. And I've been saying for 2 years that I want to see the Kings grab Shaka Smart out of Texas, because not only does he have a great basketball mind, but he's innovative. He's going to, you know, demand the respect just based on how quickly he's come up through the ranks. And let's face it, this is a young team in Sacramento. They might need someone young to relate with, where it's not going to be that old father time sit on the bench that these young guys don't care to, you know, play for. Get someone that they can relate with. Get someone that's going to try new things. And see if they can, you know, really put a spark under this team and really just jump it to the next level.
Greg, we appreciate that call so much. As we wrap that whole thing up, I really wasn't sure when we sat down to talk about that how passionate people would be. And it's a polarizing topic, I guess. I guess the Sacramento Kings coaching position is a polarizing topic in general. I mentioned it before the break. I guess we'll squeeze this in because I want to talk. We're going to talk Raiders and their draft needs next. Rich Hill looked great yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Oakland A's got another win. And we've already talked about the Giants. They're already going right now 3-1 with the San Diego Padres. But as I mentioned, we talked a lot about the NFL draft. In the first hour, we're going to come back and talk about the specific needs of the Oakland Raiders right here on your home of the Raiders, Sports 1140 KHDK. The Lowdown with Daniel Bartling, Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. Thank you so very much for tuning in. Had a great time talking about NFL draft. We talked earlier about the specific needs of the San Francisco 49ers. Now we're going to head across the bay into Oakland, talk about what they may be looking for. Well, I guess we got to start with where they may be going. It seems this Oakland Raiders to Los Angeles thing is starting to gain a little steam.
Well, now Las Vegas is in the mix now for the Oakland Raiders. You hear about that?
Is that what I said? Did I say Los Angeles?
Yeah.
You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at the details of the Chargers and that whole thing if they don't opt in and the Raiders can opt in.
They
and
can go and get that.
They can move, but they have Las Vegas as the backup plan. What I meant to say was it appears that the Las Vegas thing is gaining steam.
Which I find to be odd.
And the Giants are down 4-3 now after a two-run homer. Sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention that earlier. They have to get five runs for Samardzija because he's going to give up three or four.
Well, there's the four.
He just gave up a couple there. One fell swoop. It's only the top of the third, by the way. Sorry, Ken Rudolph.
Go ahead. No, it's okay. That's what they got Matt Kemp for, to hit that one home run every 60.
He's done.
Every 65, 67 at-bats. Yeah, that Vegas thing is so intriguing to me because there are a lot of franchises that have flirted with going there, but with the whole gambling aspect, it doesn't seem like any professional sporting league would allow a franchise to go there.
Yeah. This is the first time Mark Davis, to me, has felt like Al, like his dad. He's kind of not been like his dad. He's just like, hey, I'm not him. I just own the team, whatever. I'm Raider. But now this was like, that feels like something Al would do.
Well, even the San Antonio thing 2 years ago was totally an Al Davis move. Mm-hmm. Mark is really, it appears as though he's trying to be like that.
Yeah. But of all teams, I don't know that the Raiders seem like they're Las Vegas, but also doesn't seem like they're not. I don't know. It feels like that's a team that could go there. Would it work? Because you need the fan base there. I think there's Raider fans that would take that easy flight, get there, but you need the fan base in Las Vegas, and that's such a tourist area.
It's hard to imagine, obviously, because the Sacramento Kings were linked to Las Vegas for many, many, many years. It's hard to imagine a professional sports team having a fan base in Las Vegas.
I mean, there's obviously a lot of people there now, but I don't know.
Maybe you're not even a fan of the team. Maybe you're just a fan of football and you go to the football games.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like there's going to be enough of a fan base, a solid fan base every year for your licensing and your ticket sales and everything.
Lots of competition.
To make it actually lucrative for you.
But don't you shine up all those numbers and make them look pretty if you have a stadium proposal, which it appears that they do? So they have this stadium proposal in Las Vegas. You can shine everything else up and say, hey, we're going to sell this. We're going to sell this suite to this casino and that suite to that casino. And you can make it look like something it absolutely is not.
Yeah, I don't think the money would be a problem or building that. Or, you know, they're building all that stuff there and the stuff grows all the time. It's just the consistent consumer there. Yeah. This consistent, everyday, single, you know, the season ticket holder.
And I still bring it back to, I don't understand why. I mean, I understand that the city is not really going to be able to pony up the money that they need to build a new facility for the Raiders. But it's long been their MO, and there have been articles in the Sacramento Bee, and we have a history flirting with Al Davis in Sacramento. And every single time there was an overture, whether it was made by Mayor Kevin Johnson or Mayor Joe Serna before him, Al Davis at the last minute was like, oh, we don't want to pay any money.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't want to come out of pocket for that. Like, you kind of have to. You got to go in on something. You can't expect the city to pick up that entire tab. That's just crazy.
Yeah, and if you talked about the Chargers earlier, which I thought their biggest mistake, if they're not going to L.A., is to give the Rams a year head start on them. But if they're not, if they figure out something in San Diego and that door is open for the Raiders, they could slide right back in there. They'll be fine if they want that.
And it appears that, I mean, if you have the opportunity to do that, in which it's not really in their hands right now, it's in San Diego's hands. San Diego somehow does stay, and you can go down to Los Angeles with the stadium
coming
already.
Yeah, one less year away, you know. Yeah, and they could. There's so many Raider fans there already. It wouldn't be like the Chargers waiting a year, the Raiders waiting a year because they have to. They could slide right in and be fine.
But the only issue is there's more competition for your attention in L.A. than there is in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
people have more options of places to go and things to do. And
but they were in L.A. for so long.
Yeah, and Kroenke doesn't want the Raiders.
No,
there.
Not really that long. If you go back and look at it, they weren't there that long.
But they had a fan base there.
True, they did have a fan base.
All the rappers went.
Yeah, but I feel like that was even it's still that Oakland mentality had still come to Los Angeles. and they kind of took that same thing and appropriated it there. I don't know if it'll work now.
Are Oakland fans the same as Los Angeles Raider fans? Oakland Raider fans and Los Angeles Raider fans, are they two different? Like all the Oakland Raider fans, they head south. Oakland done? What are they fans of now? Or do they ride with them? I mean, it's an hour flight away.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Oakland Raider fans, and I would love to get someone who would respond to that. I feel like the fans in Oakland are different. And they feel like they're different, too. They're like, no, we've been down with this team since day one. And we took them back when they left and came back home. L.A. fans don't quite have the same commitment or connection to the Raiders as the Oakland fans do.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll get into draft needs for the Oakland Raiders. What are they?
I wrote down, I still think defensive line, secondary, safety, corners.
The defensive back position.
Yeah, has been an issue. Maybe even linebacker. I'm still looking defense. Maybe some help at the running back, but...
They're at 14, by the way. Yeah. He's picking 14.
No, I find their defense to be okay. They got Reggie Nelson from Cincinnati. That was huge. You can't replace Charles Woodson, but you needed experience at that spot.
Right.
And they got it. Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
You know, they've got their line, their offensive. I mean, the defensive line is crazy. Obviously, they're going to be without Alden Smith for a little while, but when he comes back, that defense is going to be all right.
Yeah.
And the offense is starting to make some progress. I feel like they need offensive linemen. I think everyone probably thinks that's my whole thing. You always need another offensive lineman. Always. You've got a young
quarterback.
You need to protect him.
Yeah.
And you've got a good one.
Yeah.
Well, and Reggie's done a lot of that. And it's also still his MO. I mean, if he thinks he's got five, let's get seven. I mean, he's going to keep rolling there, O-line and D-line.
They could probably use a tight end. I don't know who's playing tight end for them right now.
Yeah. Lee Smith they got from Buffalo. They have Rivera. They got a few guys. Oh, and Clive Walford. He's actually pretty good. So they have a couple.
And they've got their wideouts. I mean, Cooper's a fantastic.
Crabtree. Yeah.
They've got what they need there.
Yeah.
You mentioned defensive backs. There's a guy who was there for a very long time who's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
You can't fill Charles Woodson's position.
No. But Reggie Nelson's not bad.
Someone's going to have to be there.
Yeah. He's not bad.
And getting Smith from the Chiefs, that was good. Yeah. They did some things there, and they're in a much better spot. I mean, it's not like we were talking about earlier the Niners, and Ken was saying there's so many areas of need. The Raiders, it's about plugging in pieces.
Exactly.
It's not like, oh my gosh, they need this. I mean, it's just making the team better.
How'd that happen?
How did that happen
in 4 years, guys?
That's it. It hasn't been overnight. Reggie got kind of crushed for it at the beginning, but he's done it slowly and surely. He's drafted well, not perfectly, but he's drafted well. I was looking at it 3 years ago, got Latavius Murray in the sixth round.
Good running back.
TJ Carey, who plays in the secondary, in the seventh round.
Yep.
Ben Heaney this last year. It's getting those guys later that help. And then, of course, Carr, Cooper.
How did that happen? The Niners 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Rocking everything. Mm-hmm. Just rocking it. And the Raiders are just horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here we are 4 years later, and the balance of power has completely shifted in the Bay Area.
I think with Jack Del Rio as your head coach, don't you go defense? Don't you always go defense in the first round if that guy's your head coach?
Probably.
Because you can make a good defensive great with the right pick with your coach because of the type of coach that he is.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you have a good offense. A great defense, you're winning 12 games in that division.
And I could even see them trading and moving down. He likes more picks, too.
And there you go right there. Tex Nation here. I'm a Raider fan, and I'm cool with Vegas. I'm cool with L.A. as long as it's not Texas.
Yeah.
That's San Antonio thing was, aggressive.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. Kings Tattoos, NBA playoffs, lots of NBA news coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour right here on The Lowdown.